Hi, I'm Sebastian and I'm the CEO of the Digital Hub Münsterland. And at this year's Digital Summit Origo in Münster, I had the chance to host a panel discussion about the state of startup support in Germany and the Netherlands. My panelists were Katharina Free from eCapital, Christian Arndt from Hightech Gründerfonds, and Mike Verkauter from Novelty. We examined the challenges that startups currently face in our dynamic ecosystem, particularly in the light of the recent economic downturn, and discussed how this downturn has impacted startup viability, investment acquisition, and market stability. We also discussed the potential benefits of market pressures causing the failure of non-sustainable business models and explored how this market correction can also promote a more resilient and innovative startup ecosystem. Finally, our discussion centered around the question which startups require more support and which not. Next, you will hear the live recording of the summit. I hope you enjoy our discussion and see you again at the next Digital Summit Origo.
Psst, hab gehört. Ein Format des Digital Hub Münsterland.
So, I'm very happy for all of you that stayed in the room and those that may come in now for our very interesting panel about the state of startup support in Germany and the Netherlands. So my name is Sebastian, I'm CEO of the Digital Hub Münsterland, so we are one of the organizers of this conference. I hope I will see at least a couple of you later at the final of the startup competition that we organize. We have two startups in the final that will compete for the big prize later. But now, there's the panel about the state of startup support, and you may have noticed that we have some, let's say, economic downturn right now going on, and we will discuss now how that affects the economy as a whole, and more specifically how that affects startups. And with me on stage I have some undisputable experts on the topic, basically the best people that can inform that topic that I know. And I'm very happy that you're here on stage with me. And those people are Mike Verkauter. He's a chief commercial officer of Novelty. Then we have Christian Arndt. He's senior investment manager at Hightech Gründerfonds. And Katharina Free, senior investment manager at eCapital. So give it up for the panelists. And the problem is that we have only 30 minutes, so we will directly dive into the topic, so to get maximum insights from you as experts. And for starting the panel, so I want just to know from you, Katharina, we'll start with you. So how did you perceive kind of the current last month? How is it going with your portfolio startups? Everything all right? Or are they struggling?
Yeah, sure. Maybe a few words also to myself and what I'm doing. Like, I'm Katie, I'm working for eCapital, an early stage deep tech investor. We're based here in Munich, Münster. We have 400 million euros assets under management and new fund basically just raised to invest in new companies. Series A typically, and we have two focus areas, climate tech and cybersecurity. So how did I perceive the last couple of months? Well, not so good. Well, of course, every company in our portfolio has unique challenges where we try to our best to support the teams. But what I can say in general, we see prolonged sales cycles for our teams, and they are very active in B2B businesses. And while the purchasing process is hard in different stages, we see much more diligence, longer sites, decision-making process, and is this product from the startup really a must-have or a nice-to-have solution? So it's very important to have a crisp and clear value proposition for all the teams at the moment, I would say.
So how does that change your recommendations that you give to the startups right now? What is the main recommendation that you probably
cash
apply?
Cash preservation is king.
Cash preservation is king, yeah.
Yeah. Like funding cycles to get new funding on board takes also longer, especially for deep tech companies. So,
okay, yeah. Christian, how is it at Hightech Gründerfonds? I mean, at Hightech Gründerfonds, you're at least partly governmental funded. And as I understand it, you are going to make your investments anyway, and you don't care about the economic, let's say, state. So you do your investment anyway. Is that what has changed at Hightech Gründerfonds?
Yeah, so it's true. So it's a public-private partnership with roughly 1.4 billion under management at the moment. Roughly half of it comes from the Ministry of, what is it in English, Economic Affairs, and the other half comes from industry players, big German companies, mostly German companies. And we do roughly 40 investments per year. Doesn't matter if we are in the high season or if we are in a downturn, it's roughly 40 per year. Sometimes it's 42, sometimes it's 38, but it's on average around this 40 investments. I would say in general, it's similar to what Kati said. So you feel a difference when you compare it to 2 years ago. Nevertheless, my personal experience, if you compare it to 2018 or 2019, it's not so much of a downturn. It's just when you come from 2021, where everything was on steroids, it feels like a depression at the moment. If you compare it to other time periods that were previous or before this high season, it's okay, I would say. It's tough to raise at the moment for most of the startups. If you're not growing, let's say 200%, it's quite tough at the moment. But I have one portfolio company that raised their Series A a couple of weeks ago. It's not announced yet, but they were growing 600%. We had 15 term sheets. So it was a little bit like 2021. So if you're growing very fast, it's still a lot of capital available at the moment. But if you don't hit, let's say roughly, depending on the stage, but if it's not 200% growth at the moment, it might be better to be default alive than looking for additional funds.
You once told me that a high-tech Gründer fund is probably able to make deals right now that would have not been possible in the years on steroids.
That time is over.
Okay. Yeah. So you have to compete again with the with the private investors.
There were some months, it was probably maybe at the end of 2022, beginning of 2023, where the market was completely dry, or at least it felt like. But that time is over. So most of the players are back in the game.
Okay, cool. So I've brought some. I'm going to get the clicker. I'm sorry. I found a graphic that probably can cheer up the mood a bit of everybody. So that's development of venture capital. But here, I'm sorry, that one. This is the percentage of you probably can, but I will tell it to you. This is the here we can see it. This is the percentage point change of the share of the European capital invested, and it's compared the period 2018 to 2020 with the period with 2021 and 2023. So a bit kind of before and in within the crisis. And the Netherlands actually are the country in Europe, that's from the State of European Tech report, that increased their percentage share the most among all the European countries. So it seems that Netherlands is probably the country that made it best through the crisis. Can you confirm that, Mike?
Yeah, we finally won something. So I don't know if that's a big prize, but that's already good to know. It's a bit of the first question is how you consider last month. I think this is great because in the Netherlands, also with a sort of national organization being led by the brother of our king, Prince Constantijn Tech Leap, we're working hard to improve the Dutch tech, also as universities, with making general deal terms for our spin-offs that make it way more easy also to make clarity already for investors, how to step in, what the cap table is and how we make it in a proper way. I think that helps. What we're doing, if you ask me how I consider the last months, I think, I don't know how polite this situation, this conference is, but F up or fuck up, as in I think our government is quite fucking up the last months. If I see...
Do you have a government now?
Yeah. No, and the ones that are there also do what the others try to do. So no, I see also that we made some great steps. We're working towards something, but now they sort of hold down certain stuff that I think on the long run will make not happen that this grows any further.
Yeah, so in Germany, many people are complaining about the government. You don't have a government. So
probably, you can get ours. But yeah. No, I'm happy with our government. And especially, let me also make clear, because also here we have our city government. They are really also as a city investing what we do as a university, investing in what we do as startups, making the whole system available. But yeah, we had like something that's called the Growth Fund in the Netherlands, a few billion available to really invest in early stage and doing these kind of things, creating funds. Yeah, they a lot of investors, a lot of private companies were working towards nice proposals that could really bring us further and even higher in these kind of numbers, and they put a hold on that. Yeah, I think that's not a good signal towards a lot of these people that are working on that. Yeah. So yeah, I think that screws it up a bit.
Do you think that does also affect kind of the number of people that actually start startup? I mean, you're working for a university incubator, cooperation with Reach here in the region. Do you feel that in your programs that you get less student participation with relation to entrepreneurship, that the people kind of getting more risk averse at the universities? And
Yeah, I think so. First of all, I'm really happy to see what we do with Reach, yeah, because it creates how is the support in Germany and the Netherlands. Now let's create one support organization in Germany and the Netherlands, a Reach for Novelty that does that to say together. Then at least we do already something that is better. I think how the economy goes for entrepreneurship is always a bit of an up and down. Yeah? If companies do well, there are more jobs available, higher salaries. So sometimes for people to take a risk to start a startup where you have no salary, huge risk, and never know where it stops. Or where you go to, I think that's sometimes the downside. Huh? So people start taking less risk to stop in these kind of things. So when there is a sort of crisis and there are less jobs available, sometimes people do things themselves. So I'm happy to see that. But I think that around universities, we still continue to do our work. We try to push out tech as much as possible, try to make impact with that. So I think for students per se, or for researchers per se, they still do their research. If they see a potential, let's bring it to the market. I think for them, there is not a risk. I think, and let's say again, I talk about in general in government, I think a government should be trustworthy. And for VCs, for private people to invest in this kind of systems, markets, and these kind of things, you need to be trustworthy. Because of course, government money you need to be careful with, because it's our tax money. But private money, yeah, why should you invest it? So if you're not trustworthy and you change the system constantly, or you make promises that you don't keep, I think again, students will set up their business if they see potential. Researchers, we bring the ideas to the market, but for the system around it, you need to have a trustworthy government.
Okay.
Yeah, maybe to add on that, what we observe is, well, there's this proper and like very well-known statement, never miss a proper crisis. So it's also some sector specific, I would say. We don't see a drop in foundation of companies in the area of sustainability tech, since it's a major problem of our times nowadays. And of course, AI as a major hype, but also a major technological advancement in the like recent months and years. So yeah, I think there will be always good opportunities for early stage investors, startup centers, and to support the teams there.
Just a few seconds to activate the audience. So we will have another round of questions now. But if you feel free to ask questions later, so we will have here to the dice, and you will get kind of get it thrown, and then you will ask your questions. So think about your questions now. And now comes another round of questions. So Christian, many people argue that kind of the current phase isn't really bad for the whole system, if you think that from a macro view, because it's ultimately good that, let's say, bad business models exit the market naturally, and now we have kind of the remaining resources to concentrate on these sustainable startups that Kati already mentioned, and we are kind of leaving this. You called that the period on steroids, and now we're coming to a more reasonable period of startup development. Now, do you think that it's ultimately we're going to kind of enter into a period with a more sustainable and also innovative startup ecosystem now?
It's a good question. I'm not sure if it's really more sustainable, but I think in the end it was necessary. So what happened around 2021 was an exaggeration that was not really sustainable from any point of view. So there were a lot of business models that were just able to survive because you were throwing money on it, and the money was solving the problems, but in the end, the problem was not solved in the end. So I think therefore it was necessary, and I think it still happens. So there are still companies that are exiting the market, either through insolvency or maybe through something like fire sales or exit to other partners. And let's say from an investor and from a founder perspective, some of these transactions hurt because you might have different values in mind, what you might get out of the company. But in the end, from my personal perspective, it was really necessary. So there was a lot of exaggeration and a lot of problems on steroids. And from what we see now, so the generation of new startups that comes in now, it feels more sustainable. So capital efficiency is a value or is something that not all, but let's say most of the founders have in mind, and that helps them building up the company. So from my personal perspective, I think it's the generation of new startups that starts now is probably more sustainable and more efficient than the previous cohort in the last years.
How do you feel for the East Netherlands? Is that kind of the same discussions going on in the Netherlands, or do you miss these party times of 2021?
Oh, yeah, of course. They were great. Yeah, party was not really happening, of course, due to COVID. But the money was still there, indeed. Yeah, it's like there was but the South African priest, Desmond Tutu, and he always said, the only thing we learn from the past is that we don't learn from the past. And currently at our university, we also see a sort of crisis coming up. And if you talk to people that work already long for the university, some people are then afraid. Yeah, what does it do with my job, the things we want to do, the things we want to achieve? And then you have the other side of the university that says, how many time crisis is it yours? Oh, it's my third time. It's my second time. So it's, of course, something that happens every few years. And from the rational side, it's a sort of, if you're then that startup that doesn't get backed up by a VC, because, of course, being in entrepreneurship doesn't mean your startup. Being a startup doesn't mean you're a VC-backable startup. So if you're then that startup that maybe was in between startup, VC-backable startup, to be a bit blunt, but you're a sort of collateral damage. Yeah, sorry that you didn't make it, but now we make better decisions, and now we're more efficient. But I'm also not that foolish that I don't believe that in 3 or 4 years, if the money is coming everywhere again, we're stepping in the same or mistake, or just the fact that the economy works like that, that we invest also again in startups that now for sure will not invest in because the money is not there. So yes, it happens in the Netherlands also. Yes, I see it. Let's get through it. Let's make wise decisions. Let's be efficient. Let's make sure we still invest in the things we need to invest in. But also, it's a part of a few years. And then probably if we're here in 10 years again and you invite us again, we said this was the second time, third time, or it happens again. Yeah, it's also part of our economy.
Okay, being here in 10 years again would be a nice thing. So I already threatened you, so now it's the time. Any questions from the audience? There we go.
Hey, so I make a follow-up questions of Mike that talked about like investment thesis in Netherlands. So I want to ask about the same for the Germany.
How is it around in Germany?
Yeah, how's the the vision is going? Like, it's getting better or worse, or what are getting more active or less active, the government?
I think we already talked about that a little, but anybody wants to add
on this? What's your government doing?
Yeah, well, maybe from the government side, well, there's a lot of support, of course, going on, which was also already implemented or pushed in the market in 2022 with the European Innovation Agenda. So in Germany, we have another 10 billion that is made available via different vehicles, for example, the Deep Tech and Climate Fund. So when, how does it support, the very low market at the moment? Yeah, let's see. I think it will take time. And this is also because of the very low M&A ecosystem at the moment. I think exit-wise, we're at the lowest point in the last 8 years, and VCs need some money back from M&A activities to reinvest again. And I think this is an important point.
I would like to do a follow-up on this, because we not only see kind of a reduced activity on the VC side, but probably even more on the company side or the established organizations. So do you see kind of a lot of problems coming up? I mean, you mentioned already some problems, but do you have the impression that established companies have become too risk averse and probably there is some exit market, especially in Germany, which is probably, or the M&A market, which is kind of totally run down. So what are the options then for startups that have made their valuations or maybe already are in your series B, C, D? So what do you recommend to these startups with kind of a totally inactive M&A market?
Profitability. to be very short, but also there's one important metric, the rule of 40, when you're a later stage startup. So balancing your growth and your profitability to add to 40. Don't want to go into details, but the potential buyers and acquirers have a quite comfortable position. They can basically just wait and see and can wait for valuations to drop. But maybe there might be a specific need. And this is what I said in the beginning. You need a very clear and crisp value proposition. Yeah. And you need to have a solution to be bought, basically. And
are you also actively looking more for foreign buyers?
Sure, but we always did because they have deeper pockets.
Yeah, they have deeper.
So maybe adding to that, so we from I think 180 something exit we had in the last 15 years, I think we sold roughly 80% of the companies to another place outside of Germany.
Europe.
Yeah, but also sometimes out of Europe. I think I'm not sure about the share of buyers outside of Europe, but from a gut feeling, I would say it's 1/3 at least.
Yeah.
Probably even more. So maybe it's even 50%.
And
there's a lot of IP going out of Europe, or at least out of Germany.
Yeah. And you would probably also agree that German companies then are missing out on many opportunities in that field, or also if you consider kind of the development of those startups after the acquisition, or?
In general, I would agree, yes. So we have, especially for the very successful companies in the portfolio, it's tough to sell it to German companies because they're quite conservative in terms of valuation, and there are players outside of Germany or even outside of Europe that are that might have deeper pockets, as you said, or see more chances in this certain portfolio companies. And therefore, yes, I would agree.
Yeah. What about the Netherlands and the M&A market in the Netherlands? Do you also experience kind of a reluctance of corporates to work together with startups or invest in startups, or?
Different levels, as in, of course, what we're happy to see is that in general, we had, of course, in the surroundings of Amsterdam in the late years, we had Adyen, Molly, and a few of these big corporates. And we're always happy to see that, not per se from the novelty perspective, but in general in the Netherlands, because we know that these are also founders that have deep pockets and they did the game a few times, so they understand how it works. So they're sometimes more willing to also acquire certain companies. So I think that's good to see. What we're also working on in wide sense in the Netherlands is, of course, the risk of, that's also my question in Europe, of course. So we see that a lot of the deep pockets are still in the US, for instance. So it also means that a lot of our companies or our talent is going to, or the opportunities for our country are going to the US. So in that sense, we had maybe people follow that a bit in the media, at least the Dutch people probably have got that, like the whole story that the government is also working to keep ASML in the Netherlands because it provides a lot of jobs, also here in Germany, also in our region in Twente. And if these companies, if there are people indeed with deeper pockets, more options, more capabilities, and also there's a role for the government in that, also for these kind of things, people start looking abroad. So we also need to make it more attractive, I think, in Germany and also in the Netherlands to make these kind of things possible.
Mm-hmm. Second chance for the audience to ask some questions to the panel. I'm going over there.
Hi. So do we see within the next like 12 to 24 months the deinvestment strategies within VCs? So how is you feeling about the money inflow in your funds? What is and what are the new target values in profitability for investing in your funds from an institutional perspective?
Thanks. Who wants to answer?
I can start. So do we see a general strategy in divesting? I don't think so, to be honest. But from my personal experience, so what we see at the moment is that there are some VCs that realize, okay, the performance that they achieved over the last couple of years is probably not as good enough in order to raise an additional fund. So we expect a lot of VC that are slowly going out of the market over the next years because they are not able to raise a new fund generation, because for some, the last years were quite devastating because you bought very high, but it's not possible to get some decent return on that. So therefore, there will be some kind of, not sure if I would call it a shakeout, but there will be some players that will not be in the market in a couple of years, or at least not for new investment, because they still need to do the portfolio management for the existing ones. But I guess if you look at the list of German VCs, I'm pretty sure that 10-20% of them will not be active in the next couple, or when you look in the next 2 years, for instance. In terms of IRR or profit or hurdle rate, what LPs expect, we don't see it yet, but in the end you might expect a raise if you compare to the last years. We don't see it yet, but I know some funds that had a hurdle rate that was unbelievably low that raised in the last 2 or 3 years. And if you say, okay, some, for instance, had a factor of 1.3 on the entire fund, which is really low if you compare it to the years before. So VC needs to make an outperformance of typical stock market. There needs to be a premium on it. And if you have 7% in the market, or even if you get 4% on the low risk, interest, there needs to be the premium for VC, and that will not be possible for some of them. So there will probably be a race in that, yes.
Anything to add?
No, you basically said it, and no active divesting strategy. I would rather wait till valuations are up again. So, yeah.
So we're going to make a last round to have, let's say, some view in the future, and maybe it's an optimistic one or maybe a pessimistic one. I'm keen to experience what you say now. But if you're looking at German media or German news, you could think that we are probably the most pessimistic country in Europe. But actually, I found that yes, we are at least more optimistic than the Dutch. So compared to 12 months ago, so about 50% of respondents there, which are venture capitalists and startups and people that are working in the new saying are, let's say, more optimistic. And in the Netherlands, it's just way below under 30. So what happens in the Netherlands? What about your optimism? Where is it gone?
Yeah, we had a tough winter. Yeah. A lot of rain, so probably that made us a bit depressive.
Yeah. Same here.
Then also like towards the European Championship, also it was hard to get in there. So probably that helps out. Now I think what you said with pessimistic, I think the Dutch people could also be quite pessimistic. Yeah, so we are quite optimistic. Yeah, we can say the weather is good, but in the evening it was a bit cold. So there always has to be something at the end that makes it less. I think we're quite optimistic towards the future of what we're doing. And I'm really curious, because I'm not per se a fund, of course. We're somewhere a university. We're also a university holding that is an LP in many funds. So we created a few funds ourselves where we see that sometimes funds are lacking because the risk is still too high or whatever. So, but where I was maybe, because at the beginning I was a bit pessimistic towards government, of course, and that shows also in the results, of course. Now, where I'm really happy is that we still also on a private side do these kind of things. So I think government is still reinventing themselves to see what kind of role they need to play to build these kind of systems. I'm happy with Münster, with the universities here. What we do in Enschede, what we do together with Reach to create a startup support, maybe also funding around it that makes this tech land even better, happy with the things you do here. So are we there yet? No, way no. And we need to go also way higher in all kind of rankings. I'm really curious also then towards the VC landscape, because I think talking about traditional, I think the most oldest business model that is always used in the playbook is what you see at VCs. So I'm also curious how they will reinvent in the coming years also in that landscape, because I think also the speed of how things are going also demands that maybe the business model, the traditional business model that funds have, they also maybe need to rethink how they could combine it with what we're working on right now.
Christian, looking at your portfolio, who do you see as the rising stars of the next 12 months? Every importance we will have later on stage, they are probably kind of rockstar startup with a great development. How bullish are you with Agriportance and maybe some other stars in your portfolio?
Yeah, for sure. Henning is the rising star in the portfolio.
Yeah.
Say hello, Henning. Now, in general, as a VC, I think you always need to be optimistic, because otherwise it's tough to make early stage investments in companies with no or maybe very minor revenue. So the glass is always helpful and not empty. But from my personal perspective, I think there will be some startups that are still going out of the market in the next 12 months. But the ones that survive this downturn will probably be the ones that are, coming back to our previous discussion, will be quite sustainable and healthy from a company perspective. Though I expect also the new founders that we talk to at the moment, they learned a lot. They understand it's not just raising money and throwing it off the window. It's also necessary to be capital efficient, have a healthy growth, and therefore I think it's a great time to start as an entrepreneur at the moment.
Kati, it's now your task to find some famous final words of these panels. So looking at your portfolio, what do you expect? What are probably the startups that you have kind of the most promising development for the next 12?
Yeah, sure. Well, 1.5 is, of course, one of our high flyers as the latest climate tech unicorn in Germany and Europe, probably. So we are quite confident. It's also quite positive since, well, we are tech enthusiasts. We always look for like large problems that are not like affected by very short-term crisis. So that have a stable valuation over the next years and probably decades. And like having a new fund ready, like as of now, we're quite comfortable actually profiting from like a good market environment currently.
Thanks a lot for participating in the panel, and thanks you for attending here. I hope that you like the panel, and if so, please give a hand for the list. And